Welcome to today's edition of Storefront Backtalk's podcast series on security. I'm Evan Schumann. For years, chief security officers have viewed wireless security as one of those contradiction in terms punchlines. The joke would typically go, what's the only thing more dangerous than a wireless POS? Answer, a wireless POS trial. But with PCI rules clamping down and cyber thieves sniffing around for whatever holes they can find, wireless security has stopped being funny. Either through ignorance or carelessness, many retailers have been caught doing some fairly absurd things with deploying wireless security. With us today to try and figure out this is Anthony Palladino, Managing Director of Global Systems Engineering with Airtight Networks. Anthony, thanks so very much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
So your job has, for the most part, been to go into the field and to try and plug leaks. What are the most absurd things you found in retail?
I did have a gas station chain that called me. I think they had 500 plus locations, and they decided to use compensating controls for their wireless PCI. What they were doing is they were actually had an admin, and she was going down a list, and she would call each location and simply ask the manager on duty if anyone had plugged a rogue device into the gas station's network.
That was their extensive due diligence process to call and ask.
I'm as surprised as you are with that one. In fact, I'm actually surprised at who the QSA was and how they even got a compensated control to do that. It was definitely one that was one of the more scarier ones that we've come across.
So the assumption was that the associates they would call at gas stations would be aware if there was anything unauthorized plugged in.
And the assumption was is they actually stopped what they were doing, went into a back closet, opened up the closet, shined a flashlight in there and said, oh, there's no rogue devices plugged into this switch, and simply went back to doing whatever they were doing in the course of the day.
And there's also the assumption that the people they were hiring would know what to look for.
Exactly. That's pretty much where the conversation went. How did they even know what a rogue device was or what belonged there and what didn't belong there? So
gas stations have been very, very popular these days with cyber thieves, and we've seen the some of the Bluetooth attacks. Any reason they are so attractive these days?
I think they're attractive just because any time you see a tier one PCI vendor, someone who's taking million plus transactions of credit cards in the course of a year, and it's low hanging fruit for a hacker. Basically, a lot of times these stores are, the back rooms are unattended. So if someone can actually get back there and plug something in, it's very easy to do. Either that or they're still running on, some antiquated encryption algorithm like WEP.
You mentioned, we talked earlier, about a department store that was doing more things manually. What was going on with that?
This was a compensating control. In this case, this was a department store chain, 500 plus stores, so, large footprint, probably a tier one PCI within a day or so. So doing a lot of transactions. These guys actually had Wi-Fi in a lot of their stores. And what they decided to do was to hire 8 people to travel a span of over 10 states and actually do the wireless scans manually. So they bought some scanning software, bought 8 netbooks, and figured if I just put these guys on the road, scan each store, and they had some algorithm, how they were going to work it out to cover this many locations. And I was actually with one of our partners when we heard this story, and we immediately looked at each other and said, had you factored in the travel expenses? Had you factored in the days off? And they had not factored any of that in. They simply were just trying to rush to meet a compensating control. I think their bank had given them a deadline of January 1 of this year. So they definitely took the shortest route to get that checkbox. But again, for whatever money they spent to even get the checkbox, they got probably zero benefit from it, because once the scans were taken, it would take you weeks just to compile all the data from the scans, and that was not even factored in as well.
Beyond the extraordinarily ugly spreadsheet of the cost of this approach, it didn't even work. It didn't even start to work in terms of making sure it's secure.
Exactly. So think about it. Even if you went for one day, took a scan of a single location, you'd have to factor in the time to get there, the time to take the scan. Then you'd have to factor in the time to then upload the scan and then render that data and make some sense of that data. Because, the airspace is so cluttered, if you did have a store in, you know, in an urban area where most of them were, you have SSIDs and clients signal beaming into that location. Figure out what's actually on your network is nearly impossible.
We're still hearing horror stories of QSAs that are approving compensating controls in terms of just would this theoretically work without actually going through the practical issues. Is this doable? So they signed off on it with it having just about no chance of actually accomplishing the objective.
Exactly. So no one, you know, basically they gave him the checkbox, but didn't even look at the operational side of what they were doing.
We're also talking to you the other day about a grocery chain that got into trouble with that. What was all that about?
Still see some interesting configurations out there, and I guess you would say false sense of security that goes along with some of these configs. So, you know, we still have a lot of, you know, grocery stores, a lot of logistics companies that are, you know, they basically have a lot of web devices, handheld scanning guns. So they try to be creative to protect these web networks. I had one that I ran across, and we actually sat down and we were actually doing a product demonstration, and we were looking at the airspace, and we see this really interesting SSID. It was a 32-character SSID with alphanumeric and symbols, and we kind of looked at each other. We said, you know, what's this? And the guy said, well, our network team thought that if we had such a difficult SSID that it would kind of scare off any would-be hacker, even though we're running just web encryption in the back end. So everyone kind of looked at each other, and we looked at the security guy who said, you don't think that, right? And he goes, absolutely not. Said that, but, you know, someone did it probably 2 or 3 years ago, and they never changed it. But you could see just the misconception where someone thinking that having a difficult SSID to type one that looks like a really strong password would potentially scare off a would-be hacker. The SSID and the encryption that you're using on the network are completely unrelated to each other. So I could have an SSID of hack me, but I could be running WPA2 in an enterprise situation with, you know, CCMP, have a pretty secure network where I could, you know, have this 32-character SSID and have an encryption algorithm that's, you know, very easily hacked.
Well, that is scary but helpful. I wanted to point out that in our next segment, we're not done here, because in our next segment, we're going to prove that retailers don't have a patent on bizarre security defenses. We're going to talk about a cruise line, and this was my favorite, that kept all access points open on the docks during boarding process, and a hotel chain that had a rogue hotspot grabbing credit card data from guests and beaming it across the street. Should be a fun conversation. Please join us then for the Storefront Backtalk series on security. This is Evan Schumann.